Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for, again, a beautiful day to be here. And, Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to just teach this lesson this morning very clearly. Just give me the words, Father, and help me to have presence of mind as I am presenting the Sunday school lesson this morning. I thank you, Lord, for each of the men that are here. And we just ask for your blessing on this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3. So if you want to take a moment to turn there while you're doing that, I'll just say that, you know, getting along with the people around us is one of our biggest challenges, isn't it? I know it is for me when I'm stuck in rush hour traffic, okay? And, you know, I have to be patient with all the drivers, you know, that are around me. And, you know, the world would be a great place if it weren't for people. Yeah. You know, somebody said where I work not too long ago, you know, this job would be so much easier if there weren't any customers and if we didn't have any employees. Only life would be a little tougher without a job. So we have to know how to handle our relationships with people. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. Finally, be ye all of one mind. And we read this before, but it's, you know, repetition is the key to learning, right? Finally, be ye all of one mind, and that, of course, speaks of unity, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You know, most of us are ready to fight when we feel threatened, and some people always seem to be ready to fight. You know, there's some folks are just brawlers, aren't they? You know, but God commands us to have a spirit of reconciliation. Starting fires is not a good idea. Putting them out is much better, okay? In Leviticus 19:18, it says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And then Proverbs 24:29, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Okay, that's kind of the inverse golden rule, right? Do unto others before they do unto me, you know, and that's not what we're supposed to do. So Romans 12:17, I'll give you this one. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So, you know, we need to have a more forgiving spirit. Okay, I think that's key here. You know, C.S. Lewis said this. He said, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. Okay, and, you know, isn't that true? It's easy to say, you know, well, you need to be more forgiving, but, you know, I need to be more forgiving. We all need to be more forgiving. And so, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you should ask yourself, is there a relationship that you could fix this week? Okay? Yes. Very good. So as Mel is reminding us from Scripture, It's being of one mind and being of one mouth, or saying, you know, we need to say the same thing. Not necessarily, I don't mean in lockstep, but, you know, essentially, you know, what we say is a reflection of what's in our minds and in our heart. And so, you know, you can tell that, you know, I think that there's a spirit of unity in a church because we're all saying generally the same thing. And so again, you know, you ask yourself, is there a relationship that you could fix this week? Has God done any fixing in your life? Think about that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people would act like God? If we would make the first move towards those who are at odds with us and demonstrate a spirit of reconciliation, just think about what God could accomplish. Yes. That's right. Yep. Yeah. Mel said, you know, the Holy Spirit is not going to tell, he's not going to tell Brother John one thing and tell me a different thing, to kind of paraphrase what Mel said. Okay. God is not the author of confusion. Okay. So, yeah. So what does that tell us? You know, the closer our relationship is with the Lord, the easier it will be to find unity. Okay, to be of one mind and to be of one speech. So I think we'd be surprised at what God could accomplish if we would maintain that kind of unity. Now, going back to 1 Peter chapter 3, then in verse 10, it says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." You know, Matthew Henry said, "Those that would keep their tongues must guard their hearts, for the heart is the fountain and the tongue is the stream." Okay? And that's really, I think, so true. You know, what we say is a reflection of what's going on inside. You know, verse 10, as we just read, it says, "He that will love life." Now, if you were to promote a speech encouraging people to attend by explaining that you're going to teach them how to love life, you would probably generate a lot of interest in that speech. And although many have found success in life, many have also found that loving life is unattainable. Okay? And how sad. You know, I think of Robin Williams. You may remember him. He was a successful Hollywood actor, but he suffered from depression and anxiety. And in 2014, he committed suicide in his $5.4 million home. Okay? He had material success, no doubt, but he clearly did not love life. This makes me think, by the way, of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but I just want to read it to you because it's an interesting verse because it's the only verse in the entire Bible where the word success is used. Okay? And it says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And by the way, I don't think that that necessarily means that, you know, if you do all those things, that, you know, you're going to have two Jeeps in your garage and a nice yacht somewhere and a big mansion. Although God could bless you with those things, but success is really found not in material things, okay, but in spiritual things, things that are really going to have enduring value. So while we sometimes, you know, we wouldn't literally fight with somebody, okay, physically, but we will fight with them and go to war with them with our words. Okay, people find that easy to do. But in Psalm 34:13, it says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. In Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And then Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And you know, as Christians, we need to remember that when we are dealing with people, we're dealing with living souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere, okay? I once, when I was about 20, I had just gotten saved at age 17, and I was going out on visitation and soul winning for the first time. And there was an older man in the church. Oh, he's probably only in his 30s, but I was 20, so you know, you're older when you're in your 30s as a 20-year-old looking at that. But you know, but he told me, you know, he said, Dave, because you know, after we got done, he took me over to McDonald's, and there's kind of like a shopping center there, and he says, Dave, you see these people, these shoppers, what do you see? You know. And I said, well, I see shoppers. You know, that's, I didn't know. And he said, well, yeah, but they're souls. They're souls. Every one of these souls that you see is going to spend eternity somewhere. And that really got me thinking. So with that in mind, we have to really be thinking about, you know, that our words can have an effect on people spiritually. Charles Spurgeon said, consider how precious a soul must be when both God and the devil are after it. Okay? And so we really need to be mindful of that. That also really means, too, is that, you know, take every opportunity to witness or to at least invite somebody to church. Again, this fellow that I was alluding to back when I was 20, he taught me some very practical things. You know, he said, "Now, Dave, when you're out soul winning, you know, you know." He was teaching me which way to put the gospel tract in my pocket. And I said, "Do you know how to do that? Do you know what's the right way?" And I never even thought of that. You know. He says, no, you put it in, you know, upside down and this way, you know, so that when you pull it out, you've got it right there in front of them. And he said, because Dave, you may only get a few seconds for somebody. And, you know, and after he told me that, you know, so we're at the McDonald's, and I may have shared this with you before, but it was fascinating, you know. So he gets done telling me all this. And we go in and, you know, we eat all this McDonald's stuff, and then we come back out, and there was a couple getting into their car, and he was being the gentleman that he was. He opened the door for her. She got in. She said thank you, and then he closed the door. And then he came over to me. He says, "Now, did you see what I did?" And I said, "No. I saw you open the door for her, and that was very nice." And I says, "Yeah, but in the brief moment that I had with her, I gave her a gospel tract." And he was so quick about it, I didn't even notice it, you know. So he said, this is what I'm telling you. He said, you may only have but a moment, so you got to be ready. I've never forgotten that. So anyway, in Ephesians 4:31, it says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be away from you with all malice. And then James 4:11, speak not evil of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Okay? Better to be a doer instead of sitting back and saying, well, you know, he could have done this better. He could have done that better. Okay? There is an illustration that I'll share with you that I think kind of goes along with this. There was a small town church that put up a sign that said this, don't let your words become someone else's reason to stop coming. And so then that Sunday, there was a woman in the church who turned to the pastor and whispered, "Well, I hope that's not about me." And the pastor gently replied, "If you're worried, it probably is." Yeah, and so the point is that, you know, the Holy Spirit often convicts us where we're the most guilty, okay? And our words, of course, as we've learned, it reveals our heart. Our words reveal our heart. Now, going back to 1 Peter chapter 3, now the next verse, verse 11, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." So when relationships are breaking down, we've got to take action. It's not a time to sit back and wait for the other person to get right with God, okay? The other person. Destroy the sin in your life and then take aggressive action to do good. You know, Jonathan Edwards, he said this, "Revival begins with God's own people." And there was another fellow, Jonathan Goforth. He was a Canadian missionary to China. And he said this. He said, "The revival must begin with a deep and serious self-examination." And then the last one I'll share with you, Leonard Ravenhill, he said that the man who kneels before God will stand before men. And so, you know, we've got to spend that time, be introspective, examine ourselves, okay? And you know, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what needs to be cleaned up in your life. And chances are you probably already know. Or as Psalm 37:27 simply says, "Depart from evil and do good." Psalm 34, verse 14, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And then 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You know, it's never too early to pull the weed out of your garden, okay? And, you know, or maybe it's a rock in your shoe. Okay, we won't let that go. But, you know, as the old saying goes, you know, nip it in the bud. Don't let sin develop into a full-grown stronghold in your life. Knots in your shoelaces don't fix themselves, okay? They only get tighter. The best time to deal with a problem is immediately. And, you know, and the great thing is that God is always ready to help. Okay? We just don't always take advantage of that and turn to Him right away when we need to and go to Him in prayer and humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness and then, "Lord, help me." But He's always ready. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He's ready. He's there. He's waiting for you. So is God convicting you of some relationship in your life? Whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's with your neighbors, whatever it is. It's probably something that needs immediate attention. So don't wait, because if you wait, you're only giving Satan more time to do his evil work in your life. And don't fear the response either. You know, if God is moving you to take action, I think you can be sure that He's also working in the other person's life so that they have a proper reaction. Okay? So, again, you know, much of this lesson has been about relationships. And, you know, you've probably heard it said that you are the biggest Christian that somebody knows. And so you have a burden of responsibility that you carry with you. Remember, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, we're all soldiers in the Lord's army. And in fact, I've made the point that as ambassadors for Christ, You know, kind of making the analogy with the U.S. government, an ambassador holds the same rank as a four-star general. So you are all not just foot soldiers in the Lord's army, you are general officers in the Lord's army, okay? And in fact, we're very happy to have with us this morning General of the Army Douglas MacArthur Cook. And then, of course, there's Surgeon General of Harvest Baptist Church, Dr. Mel Hoddy, but you're all general officers. And, you know, you think about this, too, you know, just kind of relating it again to the military, you know, doesn't a general officer carry with them a lot of responsibility? You know, I've been thinking I can't remember his name now, but there's a new commander that has just assumed command of U.S. Central Command. He would be what you call a flag-ranking officer because he's a Navy admiral. And I just think, you know, wow, you know, what a tremendous responsibility to take charge of that particular theater of operations, which has been so active and so busy. And so, you know, thank God that we've got men that are capable of doing that. But you know, we're in a battle ourselves. We're in a battle for souls, okay? And our enemy is very powerful, okay? Lucifer could perhaps be the second most powerful being in the universe, which makes him infinitely less powerful than God, okay? So, you know, our heavenly commander-in-chief will guide us, he will direct us, he will protect us, and under his banner, we will emerge victorious. I know that for a fact because I've read the end of the book, okay? And I know how it all turns out. All right. Well, we're going to leave it at that, and let's bow for prayer, and then we'll be dismissed from Sunday school. Oh, yes. Well, and that's just a reminder that, you know, revival really needs to start in the church, you know? And I think Pastor even kind of alluded to that this morning when we were in prayer time. You know, it's just that there are so many churches, I'm going to use that word loosely, that just do not, they do not adhere to what this book teaches, okay? I mean, I can think of at least four different churches within a 5 to 6 mile radius of where we're standing, where it's, you know, a 40-minute rock concert followed by a 10-minute sermonette, okay? And, you know, should not be that way. And, you know, as pastors pointed out, you know, there's been a surge of interest in the Bible. More people are buying Bibles, and many of them are young people. And they're looking for something. So they're not evidently satisfied with what's in the world. It's they're not finding it fulfilling, okay? So they're looking for something that will be fulfilling. So imagine you're a young person who, you know, you have a yearning for something more fulfilling in your life, and you buy a Bible, and now you think, you know, I need to go to a church. And then you go to one where it's just a 40-minute rock concert followed by a 10-minute sermonette. You know, that can be very discouraging. So we just got to get the word out that, you know what, there are churches that still teach. That's right. You know, whatever battle we're facing, you know, if you have God's power in your life, you will overcome it. Any spiritual battle, no question. No question about that. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All right. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word, your infallible word, which teaches us how to live. It teaches us right from wrong, which sounds simple, but yet, Father, there are people in high places in the corporate world and in government that don't even know right from wrong. But Father, we have a fixed standard to determine right and wrong, and it's your word, which never changes because you never change. And so, Lord, we're just thankful for that. And And now, Father, I just pray that you would bless the services which follow today, Lord. If we have anybody with us this morning that does not know Jesus as Savior, Father, I just pray that they would get that settled today. And I ask and pray this in Jesus' name now, and amen.